I think that ultimately, every time you roll, you should come off the mats thinking you know more about the sport of jiu-jitsu than when you walked onto the mats. So I think you should roll at a pace and a level which is appropriate to that learning process. If I'm rolling with someone who's a complete white belt, of course I'm going to have one thing in mind. How can I improve, say, one move that I'm working on that day? And I'll roll at a pace which enables me to improve on that move. If I'm rolling with someone who's better than me, then it might just be survival. Okay, I've got to practice my bottom side control or something like that. But I should walk off the mats knowing in my heart that in some small way I'm better than I was when I walked on the mats. And that should always be the focus of your training, especially day by day. And just as long as you're doing that, then whatever pace you select, whether your training partner be above you or below you, will work well.
Constant improvement and continual evolution, this is the goal of every elite combat sports athlete, and in my opinion, it should be a goal embraced by everyone. That was jiu-jitsu ace and grappling master John Danaher, grappling coach to Canadian pound-for-pound MMA king Georges St-Pierre, and many other fighters as well. What John discussed was so simple yet so profound, and it can be applied to any aspect of life. As long as you get a little bit better at something every time you engage in it, you are on the road towards mastery. And on that road, opportunities are waiting that don't exist for those who are not focused on self-improvement. Whatever we do, we should do with purpose, passion, and dedication to ensure we are living our lives to the fullest potential. When life gets overwhelming and we're not sure on the next step forward, just remember, come out of today with more knowledge and skill than you did when the day started, and confidence will build as the way forward becomes clearer thanks to your efforts. My name is Jesse Day, and this is the Fight IQ Podcast, where we break down the psychology of world-class combat sports athletes and their coaches to extract gems of wisdom we can all apply to our own lives. Fight IQ drops every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time at fightiqpodcast.com and wherever podcasts are found online. Continual education is such a powerful way to both improve our brain function and advance our lives towards where we really want it to go. That's why I'm hoping the clips we'll explore today will resonate with you in some way and provide some insights that will encourage you to take action on achieving your dreams and goals. The fighters and coaches we are going to be hearing from each have some unique lesson that can be translated from the ring into the real world. So take a seat, class is in session. Welcome to Fight School on Fight IQ.
Seem like a very calm guy, and you said that every fight is the same, you don't make them into a bigger deal than they are. But did you feel more nervous going into this one because of those stakes?
I honestly did. It wasn't until like fight day that I kind of snapped out of it, but it was I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of a lot of pressure, you know what I mean? Because like I said, it was make or break, and I needed to win that fight, and I needed to win it in spectacular fashion. But I handled it well, read a couple little things online that helped me, and I got through it.
Like what? Do you mind sharing what you read?
There's a link. I wish I could like tell you the exact link, but it was just something like to keep your game day focused and to have like seven little steps. And I read the steps and I just kept on replaying those in my mind.
Wow. And who sent that to you? Or did you just find it yourself?
I Googled it.
Oh, really? What did you Google? Yeah. What did you search?
Something about focus, that's keeping my focus on game day, and this type that in, and then like a whole bunch of links popped up and I just found one.
Wow. And so was this the first time you looked for something like that?
No, I do it a lot. I do it regularly.
Oh, really? Okay.
Just, depending on, yeah, whenever I'm like going through stuff or something that's bugging me, I always go on Google and I try to look for extra motivation.
In this day and age, information is more readily available than ever. This is, of course, a double-edged sword, as it is also easier than ever to get overly distracted by useless information and media content online, and thus never really optimize one's learning experience. That was UFC welterweight fighter Jeff Neal describing how he turned to the power of the internet to help solve a very serious challenge. Neal was heading into his fourth bout in the UFC and was pitted against always dangerous veteran fighter Mike Perry, and it was a major step up in competition for him. It was the biggest name Neal had faced, and so naturally, the pressure and the nerves were at an all-time high leading into the contest. It might sound almost ridiculous to some that a professional fighter would turn to Google to find a solution to this problem, but when you really consider it, why not? The internet is filled to the brim with inspirational, motivational, and practical content that can help guide people towards solving a variety of problems and concerns. Want to quit a bad habit such as drinking or smoking? Feeling depressed over a missed opportunity? Want to lose weight and improve your physical fitness? Or, like in Jeff's case, maybe you have a very important event coming up where you need to perform under pressure. Thousands of websites, articles, blog posts, podcasts, and videos are instantly accessible with actionable information you can use today. Now, of course, we need to be selective about the information we listen to and take action on, and this takes time and patience to sift through what's available and find something that resonates with us and is legitimate. We can afford to be choosy because the volume of information is so much that we have all the luxury in the world of discarding what doesn't serve us and finding the stuff that does. There is a fine line here because most people approach this from the angle of finding information that is already in line with their current beliefs or finding information that requires them to do the least amount of work possible. In other words, people want to stay in their comfort zones where it is warm and cozy but barren and devoid of meaningful improvement. In many ways, the internet has accelerated the quick fix mentality as people look for articles about making money easily online or losing 10 pounds in a week, but I think we all know deep down inside that such proposed solutions are useless at best and outright destructive to our goals at the worst. There is no quick fix, there is no easy way out, ever. Anything that seems that way is a cleverly disguised illusion that may bring short-term motivation, but at the unmanageable expense of long-term pain and suffering as one finally discovers the illusion, often after too much precious time and energy has been wasted on it. However, when used correctly, the World Wide Web holds a treasure trove of useful information that can enhance every area of our lives. I personally believe when people wake up and see the facts, that institutionalized education such as universities and colleges will cease to be important. I can learn anything I need to know about any topic in the world online, either completely for free or for an infinitesimal fraction of the cost that I would pay to enroll in university. Not only that, but this knowledge is available on demand and can be viewed at the student's leisure on their schedule. One other obstacle to accessing this wealth of information is something we talk about a lot on this program, and that's ego. There are some people who believe they already have all the answers and are also scared deep down that they will find some information that will contradict what they already believe they know. The truth is, it is usually only underachievers with a certain degree of ignorance who believe they know everything about a topic. You will often find that the most high-achieving and skilled performers in a given field are the ones who are the fastest to proclaim that they have a lot more to learn and the most enthusiastic about consuming and implementing new information, new techniques, and new tactics. This is no coincidence. To get to a high level in any skill set requires you to always seek new ways to improve and to never disregard information without first taking the time to see if there is anything worthwhile there. The ego can also cause us to be biased towards certain sources of information. If someone espouses political views or lifestyle choices that we don't agree with, we tend to disregard everything they say as useless, when in fact it's possible nothing could be further from the truth. We can learn from anyone if we keep an open mind, and it is in our best interest to set aside prejudice and be receptive to learning from those we may not see eye to eye with on certain topics. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already someone who's interested in self-improvement, so maybe I'm preaching to the choir here, but I encourage you to get out there and start educating yourself more, and the easiest way to do this is by replacing videos you watch purely for entertainment with educational videos that provide you with vital info that can move you closer to your real goals, to your real long-term happiness and success. Personally, I've educated myself so much online and continue to do so. I've learned and continue to study marketing, podcasting, neuroscience, stoic philosophy, and much more. And it's not difficult or stressful to do so. My preferred method is video learning. I love watching videos, documentaries, and I find that I retain the information a lot. But if videos aren't your thing, like I said, there's blog posts, articles, podcasts, a ton of stuff out there. The internet is ultimately a tool that can be your greatest ally or your worst adversary. The next time you find yourself in front of a screen trying to decide what to consume, remember this fact and act accordingly.
Reading up on you, finding out that you're a massive chess fan, it puts all your matches in a perspective that's how you fought. Like, is that how your approach was?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I would figure out, well, how do I reach from point A to point F? Well, you know, I have to go through B, C, D, and E first. I can't just go from point A, B to F.
Right.
So I got to do those things first. And there's a strategy involved. The strategy is to win. Mm-hmm. And then before that, okay, who am I going up against? Okay, what do I need to beat this guy? What can he do to beat me? Make sure that I strengthen, you know, if he's a good body puncher, I would strengthen my body and make sure that, my body's strong so that wouldn't be my weakness. So when he thought that was my weakness, mm-hmm. it would actually be my strength. So it'd sucker him into throwing me body punches, but that would leave him open.
Right.
So that's where the chess aspect comes into the sport. Mm-hmm. Really depends on who you fight. There was a moment there where I was fighting a lot of shorter opponents, so I knew they wanted to give me body punches, wanted to give me a hook.
Yeah.
Hooks. So I practice in the gym, keeping this right hand up all the time, right close to my chin.
Right.
And it wasn't until, you know, Emmanuel Stewart came into my life and said, oh, you're doing it wrong. You need to put it in front of your mouth. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, when somebody hooks you, you can do that real quick. And he was right. And I was like, yo, these are what the old guys teach you.
The strategy is to win. We talk a lot about learning from losses and giving your best effort on Fight IQ, but ultimately, we are looking to achieve victory. This is the main goal. Former undisputed heavyweight boxing champion and a man many consider to be the greatest heavyweight of all time, Lennox Lewis, is also focused on the win, and he details his strategic approach that comes from his love of chess. A lot of the best fighters have a very cerebral approach to the fight game and are able to look at all angles of a match, not just the obvious, but the intangibles as well. Like a great chess player, they can see many moves ahead and use that information as a weapon to overwhelm their opponents. We've all heard the phrase, proper preparation prevents poor performance. But we are not just seeking to avoid a poor performance, we want to put on an amazing one, and so proper preparation is not enough. It is possible to over-prepare in certain circumstances, but it is a very rare occurrence, and so aiming for the maximum level of preparedness possible is usually the correct path. Be extra prepared. Do the necessary research to know all the different nuances of the task you're undertaking, and then formulate a strategy that takes all those factors into consideration. Be aware, too, of the unseen variables. In the case of a fight, there are so many different intangible aspects that are not out in the open but nonetheless play a major role in the outcome. Where is the fight being held? Did yourself or your opponent have to travel a long distance to get there? What about pre-existing injuries? Do you have any that you need to work around? Does your opponent have any you know of that you can take advantage of? I could go on forever here. The point is to be aware of everything and leave no detail out of your preparation equation. In reality, every day is really just preparing for your future, whether you're aware of it or not. Those who take an active approach in this preparation are at a major advantage. This is because most people don't have a great idea about where they're going in life or how to get there, and so cannot effectively prepare themselves. Like those chess grandmasters who can see multiple moves ahead, so can we all look into our future and make the right moves to get ourselves there, our ideal future. Today isn't about today. It's about the days, weeks, months, and even years ahead. The actions you take today will have an impact on tomorrow, for better or for worse. The most obvious example, of course, is health and fitness. When one is young and naturally healthy, it is easy to forget that the body will start to deteriorate with age. But if one establishes and maintains a habit of eating a healthy diet and following an exercise regime when they are, say, 20 years old, it will serve them when they are 70 years old, in all the years in between, and up to their eventual departure from this life. By the same token, it is never too late to begin habits that will serve us in the future, to prepare for accomplishing our goals by making sure we have ample mental and physical energy to perform at our best. Life is a game with an infinite number of effective strategies that can get you to the next level, but these strategies won't devise themselves. This means you have to dedicate time to formulating your strategy, and not only that, but constantly be willing to revisit that strategy and make adjustments as needed. What is effective today won't necessarily be worthwhile next year, when you have reached a higher level of mastery. Bodybuilders, for example, aren't doing the same workouts year in and year out, but are rather adjusting as they see a progress or lack thereof in different muscle groups. This is why one of the keys to excellent preparation is having a crystal clear view of where you are now and where you want to end up over the long run. And that final goal will most certainly change as time goes by and circumstances are altered. Life, like a fight, is ultimately unpredictable. An opponent who is known for their world-class Muay Thai skills may have really been working on their grappling and so could shoot for a takedown seemingly out of nowhere and take you by surprise. Likewise, something you were so certain of and believed in with all your heart could present itself to be false. One of the clever illusions that are so effective at deceiving us in the modern world. We need to adapt and adjust our game plan in light of new developments, be they positive or negative. The last thing I want to touch on here is the comparison between chess and fighting, or rather, the correlation that exists through many skills that may not seem similar at first. The great Japanese swordsman Miyamoto Musashi spoke of this frequently in his text, The Book of Five Rings, where he encouraged his disciples to increase their skills with the sword by taking up calligraphy, sculpture, painting, and other arts. He believes, as I do, that they were all tied together, and that the knowledge gained in one skill can be applied to another either directly or indirectly. Chess won't teach you how to throw a proper jab or how to slip punches, but it will teach you strategy and long-term oriented thinking, both vital to a successful career in combat sports. So embrace different skill sets that interest you because they will ultimately all synergize with each other to pave the way to success.
The difference between a good coach and a great coach, how I kind of put it, is a good coach can tell you what you need to do. And I can talk to people on the street who can tell your athlete what they need to do, but it's, can you show them how to do it? Can you explain when to do it, when not to do it, how to do it, how to set it up? And most importantly, make them believe in it. And then going into the corner work, it's really the same thing. You got tons of good corners, but the difference between a great corner is someone who understands their athlete on the, you know, the mental side. You got to know how to piss them off. You got to know how to cool them down. You got to know how to you got to really just understand their psyche. And you got to be able to read that from just, not even just from their performance, but their body language and what's going on. And, you know, is there something going on the outside of the fight sport that's causing their performance to be there? And if you're with them all the time, you should know everything that's going on with them. I know a lot of people who coach and corner athletes that they're like their best friends. And I always say, hey, man, it's good to be a friend of an athlete. But a lot of times a good friend is going to tell you what you want to hear. But it's like being like a father. Like a father, you always want to let them know that you're proud of them, no matter what happens, because they're again, as long as they're out there doing their best effort, that's all that matters.
It wouldn't be fight school if we didn't discuss what makes a great teacher as well as a student. If you don't teach or aren't a leader at the moment, you probably will be someday, and these principles will also help you to identify great teachers both in real life and online to determine if they are worth your attention. That was Coach Trevor Whitman, who has coached and trained Rose Namajunas, Justin Gaethje, Stipe Miocic, and a host of other top-level MMA fighters. Trevor is one of the most technical minds in the game who also understands the emotional support necessary to bring out the best in his fighters. We discussed coaching and cornering more in-depth on last week's episode of the Fight IQ podcast, Leadership in Action, so do check that episode out if you are interested in this aspect of the sport. So let's break down Mr. Whitman's definition of what separates the good from the great, and this applies to all forms of coaching, training, and teaching in any field. Firstly, it's not enough to simply explain how to do something. I can tell you how to throw a right cross, but that will only be the very beginning of the lesson. As part of that, I need to explain the mechanics behind the movement, break it down into its individual parts, and show you how those parts connect. I need to give you the reasons why you should throw this punch and when you should throw it. I also need to inform you how it will look and feel when your opponent is throwing it so you can predict the punch before it happens and know how to counter it. The crux of it is, to learn something to the point where it's second nature, one needs to know all the nuances by heart. This requires constant repetition from the student, but also all the right input from the teacher to allow his pupil to truly understand all the aspects that go into that skill. We've all had experiences with both good and bad teachers. Right now, I want you to go back in your mind and think of a teacher you had that was ineffective and uninspiring. Learning from them was a chore and made the task feel like you had to force yourself through it. Most likely, it wasn't the words they said, but the words they didn't say that made them so ineffective. They may have explained the fundamentals of something to you and told you that A plus B equals C, but they didn't take enough time to explain the reasons why. They didn't take the time to explain the counterpoints, to show you alternative strategies to reach C, to tell you when to use those strategies instead, or to break down the equation into bite-sized pieces and help you to understand all the moving parts that allow you to reach C, so you have an overall understanding of the equation. They also likely lacked genuine passion for what they were teaching and came across as arrogant, uneducated themselves, or just plain boring. Avoid these instructors at all costs. And hey, that's another knock against college and university. You don't get to swap out teachers if the one you have is ineffective. Now, what about a teacher that not only taught you a subject effectively, but made you excited about it, made you see new aspects to it that you never considered before? Likely, they broke down all the components and explained everything in a way that you could understand. They linked positive emotion to the lesson and led by example, being excited and engrossed in the topic they were teaching like they were learning about it for the first time themselves. Oftentimes, these teachers didn't just teach us the lesson that they were assigned to, but taught us about other aspects of life and instilled us with courage and confidence by believing in us and encouraging our forward progress. This is where the ever-important aspect of emotional support and emotional connection comes into play. They make us believe in what they're teaching and make us believe it is something that can benefit us. Like Trevor said, the great coaches are as aware as possible about things going on in a fighter's life outside of the gym as well. This doesn't mean they pry into their students' private lives or ask uncomfortable questions, but rather they form a relationship with their students that creates trust over time. Once trust is built up and the relationship is strengthened, fighters are more willing to open up to their coaches, and the coach in turn can ask sensitive questions from a point of genuine concern with a desire to help out in whatever way they can. This is why Trevor referred to his role as similar to a parent who wants the best for their child. This type of relationship can and often does take years to build. You can't force this process, and every fighter will have a different timeline as to when they feel comfortable enough to open up to their coach about issues they may be facing outside of their sport. Words of encouragement and praise from a teacher or coach are so much more impactful than people realize. They are so impactful, in fact, that coaches cornering a fighter will shout out things like, "Good job," "Beautiful," and other words of praise when their fighter takes an action that advantages them in a fight. From a strictly strategic standpoint, there isn't much reason to do this. A fighter knows that it is good when they land a solid punch or execute a takedown and get into an advantageous position, but those words of encouragement and praise from a coach they trust and look up to is a powerful motivator that goes beyond the technicalities of a match. They release pleasure chemicals in the brain of the fighter that build up their confidence when they're winning and give them hope when things might not be going their way. In victory or defeat, I hope you've learned something from today's episode of Fight IQ. I know that I have. Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Jesse Day. You can reach me at info@fightiqpodcast.com or on Instagram at Jesse B. Day. That's at JesseBDay. I post a lot of inspirational, motivational, martial arts, and combat sports content, so be sure to follow, and you can drop me a DM there as well. The Fight IQ Podcast is released every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time at Fight IQ Podcast and everywhere podcasts are found online. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, just to name a few. If you really love this program, do consider becoming a patron, patreon.com/fightiqpodcast, where your contribution supports the show and also gives you a chance to choose the topics I'm going to cover moving forward. Thank you very much, my friends, and I'll see you next time on Fight IQ.